Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
All right, so I'm going to do something a little different this morning. And I want you to understand the reason why. You've got what I called I judge form. And if you read the scriptures, it's not quite as harsh as it sounds. At first, when you hear I judge, you're like, wow, you know, any visitors here this morning for the first time, right? Wow, you hand out the I judge form, you know. But the heart of it is that God partners with us in such a way that he allows us to judge ourselves. The Bible says if you judge yourselves, you won't be judged. My heart as your pastor is for you to have the information and data you need to really check where you're at in your spiritual life. Not for me to inspect it and call you and say, did you turn in your tithe this week? And, you know, that kind of thing, okay? It's so that you can grow spiritually. Because if that's not why we're here to make disciples, then it doesn't really matter. We might as well get together and watch football, which that would be fun too, amen? But there's a purpose and reason that we're here. So the iJudge thing is just a simple tool. It's online also, that you can go online. And I want you to think about it, pray about it, and see where you're really at. Because what happens, like I mentioned last week, is I judge, let's say, Megan by what I see her doing. And she's reading her social media while I'm preaching. And so I look at that and I think, wow, really? Okay. But in her heart, she judges herself by her own intentions. And her intentions are, oh, I'm trying to share the love of God with my friend on Facebook, right? And so the point of that is we all judge ourselves by our intentions, and we're usually a little more laxed about judging ourselves than we are about others, when really it should be just the other way around, right? Because I can spend my whole life judging myself and never get to perfection, right? And so that's what we should be doing. So along with the iJudge tool, there was a book called Follow Me. It was a study that was done with 200 churches, 80,000 people. And we're going to see a little bit here. The point of this is so that you see this data, which I think's amazing. A lot of you don't know that before I went into ministry, I felt I was going to go to pre-law. So I did an associate's in political science pre-law before God kind of changed my course. And even later thought about after seminary going to law school to make an impact on my world. And then God was like, no, you're going to do this. And I'm like, amen. So I'm fascinated with these studies. And I don't want you to get so caught up in the validity of what you think and this and that is of how it was done and all that. Just trust me that I, as your pastor, wouldn't bring and put something before you if I didn't think it was valuable and important to help us grow. Amen? And so it's a little different. One of the things that this survey showed is that most people are dissatisfied with their Sunday morning service because they don't share enough scripture in the service and the pastor doesn't challenge them. And I thought, well, praise God, we got that part right at Christ Community. So this morning, I'm not showing as much scripture, but I want you to see this data because I think it's valuable for you to see where you're at and what you can do to continue to grow. Because if 80,000 people reveal this stuff, then maybe one of us can relate to it too. Amen? So first of all, just the background. It was a wide study all over the United States. Okay, so that's just to show you that. Next slide, the size of the churches. I was looking at the directory with Eddie the other day, and according to how many people we have, we'd either be in the 100 to 249 or the 250 to 499 category, and that's a big chunk of it. But you can see this wasn't just something that was a giant mega church. This hit all size churches all over the United States and all denominations. The non-denominational is a church that a lot of times is more leaning towards spirit-filled, spirit-type church, and that's why they go non-denominational so that everybody's welcome to come. That's one thing I loved about having a non-denominational contemporary service in the Air Force is that everybody would come to it, no matter their background. Okay, and so let's start looking into the study a little bit itself. They discovered a spiritual continuum. And understand that as you see this, it looks like you go in stages like this way, and later you'll see arrows and stuff that move this way. But in reality, your spiritual life and the categories we're going to look at can kind of go like this, and then back a little bit, and down here, and up here, and around here, and, you know, all over the place. So keep that in mind. So let's look at the first one. I believe in God, but I'm not sure about Christ. My faith is not a significant part of my life. These are the people that just come to visit. They're like, hey, we saw this church. We wonder what's going on, okay? Then you've got the growing in Christ. It says, I believe in Jesus, and I'm working on what it means to get to know him. And then after the growing in Christ, you've got close to Christ. I feel really close to Christ and depend on him daily for guidance. And then you've got the last category, which is Christ-centered. And they say, like many of us, that Jesus is the most important thing in my life. Now, you're going to see from this data that even among those that said Jesus is the most important thing in my life, there was a gap between, so they said they love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, but loving other people was way down here. So there's this huge gap between loving God and loving people, and we're going to look at that more in future weeks. So the spiritual growth occurs in three movements, if you will, across the spiritual continuum. So the first movement is moving from exploring Christ into growing in Christ. And as we look at those different movements, you have catalysts. When they say a catalyst for advancing your growth, it means this was a significant factor, or this was a superpower booster, if you will, or a key fact. There were over 50 different factors, but there was a top three or four or five in each category. They said, this is the thing that helped me grow most in this stage of my spiritual life. Why is that valuable? Because we can look at that in our own lives and say, where am I in these different things? So you'll see spiritual beliefs, organized church activities, personal spiritual practices, and spiritual activities with others. We're going to look at each one of those together. So the first one is how spiritual beliefs and attitudes advance spiritual growth. Spiritual beliefs and attitudes is really your theology, what you believe in your heart. These were some of the key things in the first section. Salvation by grace. You guys remember when you finally understood what it meant to be born again? That you didn't have to work at everything anymore to be good enough? That Christ loved you because of who he was and what he did, and not just because of what we can do and earn? That's significant in understanding and growing. In the Trinity is important. You've got to understand that God is one God, three persons, you know, in one God. And understanding that and believing that so that you have a relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, right? That he's a personal God, that he's not just way out in the stars, but he's personal to you, and that Christ is first in your life. And the authority of the Bible. Folks, if you don't understand that the Bible is the inspired word of God, then no wonder you don't read it. If you don't understand, it's also a love letter written to you, that every word in there is inspired by the Spirit of God. It's not just some man's idea or some translation that lost its power through. The Bible is God's power. Amen. I mean, if you will, not to say, I know magic, like demonic magic, but in a sense, the Scripture is magical. It's magical in the sense that it's got power. A lot of times when we look at things that are spiritual, or we call it magic or magical, it always is something like pixie dust for Peter Pan does something, you know, or whatever it is, it does something special. Folks, there's nothing more magical than the power of God's Word. Amen? So, sorry, I'll get to preaching here instead of looking at the data. All right, the second category, movement two, what causes people to move in movement two is that the personal God comes to the top, and these are in order of how they rank them of importance. Salvation by grace, still understanding that. The authority of the Bible, so those three really move to the top. Christ is still first, and identity in Christ. I exist to know, love, and serve God. They start really understanding who you are in Christ. How do you do that? From looking at the Scriptures and it telling you who you are now as a new believer. Amen? And then in movement three, the things that cause people to really grow the most and be Christ-centered is giving away my life. Now, I think it's interesting as you look at these, and you can read these yourself, but as you look at these, what I find interesting is that giving away my life, generosity, becomes a big one. And stewardship, okay? Generosity and stewardship both become big when you're Christ-centered because you realize this is all God's, amen? And it's all His, and I'm willing to give it away, amen, like you guys are. Okay, so those are some of the things that are important. Let's look at the next category. And this is the one where organized church activities, all right? These are things that advance their spiritual growth that they did with their church. In movement one, serving the church, going to services, and small groups were important. That's why we have small groups. Now, I want to make it clear that as we move through these movements, it doesn't mean that people stopped doing one of these. Like you'll see in the first one, they say serving or attending worship services is important. Just because in the future movements we're going to look at that they don't list that, it doesn't mean they still weren't doing that. It's just that there were things that were higher priority that helped them to grow on top of attending services. So in movement two and three, they didn't quit going to church. Do you understand what I'm saying? But as far as their initial growth experience, this was important. So let's look at the growing in Christ. Okay, movement two. Serve those in need through my church. Serve the church. I serve in a church ministry one or two times a month. Adult education classes focus on spiritual topics. Okay, so this would be like financial peace. Financial peace is a class that teaches you God's way to manage your finances. Our parenting class is a class that teaches you how to make God's word first in your life and raise your kids accordingly. It's very clear in our class. What's the number one thing for those that are taking the class is that your marriage and that covenant together is first priority. Keeping that a priority is how you help to raise your kids the right way. I mean, just basic good theology like that, okay? And then again, you still see small groups. That's why we have small groups at the church. And when I started, I put everyone in one. And if you chose not to go, you had to work hard not to go. From there on out, you guys get invited. But I started the hardcore way. Then the last one, serve those in need through my church and additional teaching and worship services. So serving is big. In all the movements across the board, there's some things that stand out. And one of them is serving. And as I read through this study, I thought, how great that generosity, serving, and God's word are some of the top things. And it's like our three core values. I mean, it's just exciting. Amen. Okay, so let's move forward to the personal spiritual practices. These are things that you do on your own, okay, when you're home, not involved with the church necessarily. This is why I encourage you guys so much to have a Bible reading plan and whatnot, because reflection on Scripture and Bible reading are continuous through all these movements. And then prayer to seek guidance and prayer to confess sins. Let's go to the next one. And you'll see reflection on Scripture goes to the top still, prayer to seek guidance. Then they start getting generosity. I currently give 10% or more to the church. Solitude, having time with God, and Bible reading becomes frequent. Okay, growing in movement too. Now, why am I showing you guys this? Well, if you're sitting there wondering, why do I feel stalled or stunted in my spiritual growth? Maybe some of these things need to be incorporated into your life. And unless you're more holy or better than the 80,000 people they surveyed, it's probably pretty good practice to help you grow too. Amen? Okay, so let's look at the last one. Reflection on Scripture comes to the top. Solitude, Bible reading, prayer to confess sin, generosity again, giving, and prayer to seek daily guidance. Now, again, what's amazing is with 50 factors that this many people would be surveyed and say, God's word helped me grow more than anything. So, if the only time you hear the Scripture is when you come on Sunday morning, thank God for that. There's a lot of churches you could go all week and not hear it. Even preaching I hear on the radio, I'm amazed at how many just say, you know the Bible story of such and such. Like, no, not everybody knows that Bible story. Tell me about it. You know what I mean? It's so important. And I just hoped that by sharing this study with all these folks, it would go beyond just hearing Pastor Chris say it. Amen. Because you hear me say it all the time. To realize that, hey, God's word has to be one of the most important things in your life and priority if you want to keep growing. Amen? That's just the bottom line. We'll talk more about that next week. So, the last one is spiritual activities with others. So, you notice in the beginning, spiritual friendships. That's why when you come to the Lord and you know Christ, you need other people that know Christ. So, those friendships are important. It may be in a small group. It may not be. It may be through work. But that was the important thing they said in Movement 1 that really helped them to grow was other people. What is that? The body of Christ. Right? The very thing we talk about week after week. In the second movement, evangelism came to the top. I had 6 or more meaningful spiritual conversations with non-Christians in the past year. That's something to think about. In your own heart and life, where are you with talking to people about Jesus? Are you as excited about what God has done in your life and sharing that with people as they are right now in that classroom having fun? That's how it ought to be. I mean, I'll tell you honestly, we had a testimony last week where Rosalia got up and said that her grandson gave her heart to Christ. And I was disappointed in the response of the congregation. The angels in heaven rejoice when someone gives their heart to Christ. And we've clapped louder for a football game than we clapped for that. That bothered me. I just want you to know that as your pastor. That bothered me that didn't mean more to us. And that we weren't hooping and hollering and shouting the house down. You know, maybe that's just my own thing, but I'm just telling you the truth, all right? So spiritual friendships, meet and talk with people, serving those on my own in need, not through the church. So that would be kind of like the underdog ministry that Becky does. She goes and feeds the homeless, and she has such a heart. You get to talking to her about that, and man, I mean, she has such a heart for that. So doing other things like that. And then spiritual mentors. This is kind of like when I talk to you about how Paul and I play cards and we talk. Well, it's just not the playing cards. Okay, it's about the talking and the praying and having a cigar and just, you know, it's mentoring, you know, and we do that together. We help each other grow and keep each other sharp, and we tell each other the truth. Yeah, I mean, I've told you that before, but we're not easy on each other, in a loving, good way. Amen. Okay, so then the last category, evangelism still is at the top. I had 6 or more meaningful conversations with non-Christians in the past year. Spiritual mentors is another important key. And then serving those in need on my own, like a Go Love Pack downtown, right? Whatever it might be when you're on your own. Now, it doesn't mean that the other things weren't important, but these were the things that became more focused to help them in their Christ-centered life. Amen? Okay, so is that... that's it. Okay, so I know this is kind of weird. You're thinking, wow, this was a weird Sunday. So if you're visiting, please come back. I'll really preach next week, okay? But the Lord's really put on my heart lately as we've been looking through this discipleship series and moving into next year that we're going to be having a lot more focus on some of these basic things from this study. When I'm gone in Italy, I'm going to ask some guys to preach, and I'm going to ask them specifically to preach on what it is to have salvation by grace. Okay, some of these key things, you're going to hear messages on that. Another focus for 2018 is that we're going to focus a lot more on getting to know the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to be a part of our groups, a part of our services, and not just do church, but have significant ministry that basically I want it to be to where if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, then it doesn't happen. Okay, so the things the Lord's put in my heart is a focus on the Holy Spirit and ministry through the gifts of the Spirit and practical family teaching and living in your life. So you can be a practical, level-headed person, but also use the gifts of God that God has given you. Now, as we get into spiritual gifts and things, you know, we may lose a few people. Maybe they're just a little too Baptist for that. Well, there's Baptist churches in town, and, you know, you can go to them. But we may lose a few people, but what we'll gain in our lives by allowing, hello, part of the Godhead, part of the Trinity, to still be a part of our lives and minister to us in the way He desires to, will be gigantic. All right? And that's what we need in our stage of growth. So be praying for that. Because as we do that, the enemy will attack us more. Think about it. What would the devil want to do to stop a church? First of all, he wouldn't want you to think the Bible was the inspired word of God, because then you wouldn't read it and make it priority. Secondly, he'd say, oh, you don't really need other Christians to go to church. Why? Because that's God's plan for the power of God, the body of Christ. Third, he'd say, the Holy Spirit, yeah, well, that all passed away. That all died once we got the word. All the lies that you hear about it. Because without the Holy Spirit's power, even Jesus in the book of Acts said he did what he did by the anointing of the Spirit on him. Right? So if you're above Jesus and you don't need the Spirit, I'll pray for you, but we need the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so that's where we're going. Hope you're excited as I am. Praise the Lord. All right. So next week, like I said, I'll really preach. I promise. And we're going to go out with a song and have everybody come back up if we have everybody.